Hallelujah. Okay, everybody's going to have to speak loud enough for two of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There we go. There we go. I'm going to, again this week, I wrote a few less notes thinking that maybe it'll be a little shorter, save some time over here. But I got stirred up this week in an area, and we're going to start what probably will be a series here of messages. And it caused me to think back all the way to the beginning of my calling before the Lord, all the way back to what stirred me, moved me, back to when I got excited about the things of God, about the Scriptures, back when I got Spirit-filled and started seeing people get healed when I would lay hands on them and things like that, you know. So turn with me, if you would, this morning to Romans chapter 1 and the first verse. Hallelujah. Romans 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Let's stop there for a second. What are we going to talk about? We are going to talk about the gospel. The gospel. Paul, once he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his whole life was all about the gospel. And we'll read on here, verse 2, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There's already allusion to power, the power of the Spirit. Resurrection of the dead. It centers on Jesus. The gospel of God centers on Jesus. Let's go to the ninth verse, same chapter. Ninth verse. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. So we've seen gospel of God, gospel of his Son. He continues that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayer always. And we'll jump next to the 16th verse. 16th verse, same chapter. He says here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, that is the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So Paul says here he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God to salvation. If you want to have any power, any salvation, must preach the gospel of Christ. Amen. Without the gospel of Christ, power doesn't flow. Nothing happens. I may have it later in here, but that word salvation, where it says that there, power of God to salvation, that's the Greek word soteria. Soteria. It is the state of being delivered. It is the state of being rescued. It is the state of being set apart, set free. A little later we'll go to its root words, sozo. But Paul says that he is not ashamed of the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of his Son. Now, I know you all know this, but we're going to say it again. That word gospel, when people say we preach the gospel, what are they saying? The word gospel is a very simple word. It means one thing, good news. That's it, good news. We have, or people have adopted it somewhere along the line of history to mean Jesus was crucified, took our sin, was punished for us. We've taken it to mean he descended to hell so we don't have to, and we get saved, and that's the gospel. You know, if somebody would say, would you share the gospel with so-and-so? That's what you'd think, right? But the word simply means good news. And it was a street word. It was a general purpose word. It was not limited to Scripture at all. If I had good news for you today, that would be gospel. So when he says the gospel of God, the gospel of his Son, the gospel of Christ, we are talking about good news. Good news. Would it perk you up a little bit if I said I have good news today? Doesn't that always improve the day? You know, somebody comes home from work, I got good news. Oh, hallelujah, you got a raise, right? I've got good news. That's what the word means. So if something is not good news, it's not gospel. If something is not good news, it's not gospel. To me, it causes me to think a little bit, well, telling somebody, you're on your way to hell. You don't straighten out, you're going to hell. Is that good news? I think not. People already sort of know that. You don't have to tell them. And when you see the preaching of the gospel, it's preaching of the good news. So let me ask you a question. If the gospel is good news, what would be good news to you today? Tell me. Give me some responses. What would be good news to you today? We're healed. That's a good one. Okay. What else would be good news? He is a provider. Forgiveness of sin. Mom, what was your good news this morning?
Well, one thing, my son John is here today.
John is here.
Yes.
Is that good news?
Yes, it is very good news.
That's good news. So you guys said all of the, what I used to call Sunday school answers, what your Sunday school teacher expected you to say? Think bigger. My mom got good news seeing my brother come into church this morning. Amen. What would be good news to you today? Anybody got an issue or any kind of trouble at home? Is there something going on with family members? Do you have a bill or something that needs to be paid? Is the car broke? What would be good news?
The bill's paid.
The bill's paid. Gospel is good news. Anything that's good news. And what you'll find out here is, if you have a situation that's been perplexing, I don't know why this pops into my mind, but I guess I'll say it. Last night, just before going to bed, shutting off the lights, I'm walking toward my kitchen and met almost face-to-face with a bat. Flying in my house. That was not good news. I immediately thought of Tim, where Tim and bats don't mix. And Tim says it's an involuntary response. You know, Tim would have fell to the floor. I almost did, ducking the bat. But, I told that bat it's not allowed to stay in Jesus' name and so on. Then when I laid down, I said, Lord, how'd that bat get in here? Revealed to me and showed to me how that bat got in my house. I opened the door and it found the way out. But good news to me would be finding out where the hole is that the bats are getting in or bat got in and closing that up. The point I'm trying to make is this. Good news is relative to what you need. And it could be anything. To the one that doesn't have enough money, what would good news be?
More money.
To the one that has pain in their body, what would good news be? To the one that has a broken relationship with somebody, what would good news be? To one who's broke down on the side of the road with their car, what would good news be? Here comes a tow truck or something, right? So when we say gospel, start thinking along the lines of whatever the need is, whatever your need is, there's good news for that. Amen. And I don't know where in history the term gospel got reserved only to preaching the crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus, and eternal life. Amen. Amen. So if it's not the gospel of Jesus, it's not the gospel. We must be certain that it is the gospel that Jesus preached and demonstrated. So did Jesus preach about finding the hole where the bat got in on your house? No, not that one specifically, but I recall him preaching parables like a lady lost some coins and how glad she was to find them. All over, Jesus did teach things about everyday life that we need solutions to. And so what I'm proposing to you is we need to think about, well, now what did Jesus preach? What gospel did he preach? What gospel did Paul preach? What gospel did Peter preach? And maybe compare that to what are we preaching today? And I don't mean just here in this this church, but in all of our churches. What did Jesus demonstrate? He demonstrated the gospel. And today, a very many people are ashamed of the gospel. What do we mean by that? Well, when you broaden this out to where you see there's good news for every need, there are people born again in churches, in fact, preachers today, who are ashamed of someone being Spirit-filled, someone getting stirred by the Spirit, someone coming and asking for hands to be laid on them, because the Scripture says you could ask the elder to anoint with oil. Oh, we don't do that. You don't do that, you're ashamed of it, right? So there are people, Christians, who are ashamed of good news. If the good news is that by His stripes you were healed, oh, we don't preach that. No, Jesus did, Paul did, Peter did, Matthew did, Isaiah did. Amen. So there are all kinds of Christians and believers ashamed of certain things. Wrong understanding concerning humility. Wrong understanding concerning finance. This causes people to minimize ever receiving offerings past the bucket. No, there's a box in the back. There's nothing wrong with a box in the back, and we may yet do that at some point in time, you know. But my God shall supply all you need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm not ashamed of that. And then we're in Deuteronomy 18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. That's part of the gospel, and Jesus preached that too. So there are people everywhere ashamed of at least parts of the gospel of Jesus. And why would Paul say he is not ashamed? Even in his day already, there were people that were ashamed and not telling the gospel, the true gospel. The Scripture told us that it is the power of God to save. If a person does not treasure and believe the gospel, they cannot be saved. If the gospel is the power of God to salvation, it's how one gets saved. And I know, again, how we use the words has changed over time. That word saved Greek is sozo. We would spell it S-O-Z-O. And it simply means, if you look it up, deliverance, salvation, and preservation. So if God just protects you in a bad situation, that's being saved. If God takes you out of a bad situation, if God restores something to you, that's being saved. If you're in trouble somewhere and God brings you out, that's being delivered. That's being saved. And you'll find through the Gospels that when it says that Jesus healed many, it's the same word. It can be translated healed. It can be translated saved. It's both the idea that we have of now you're born again, you'll go to heaven and be with the Lord forever, but it's much more than that. It's when you need something to eat, He brings something to eat. That's being delivered. That's being preserved. That's being saved. So it's much broader than people make it out to be. Hebrews 4 and verse 2, please. Hebrews 4, 2. It says there, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Now this is talking about both at the time of writing, the people, and Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt. But it goes on and says, the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So if the gospel is preached, if the good news is preached, there's an opportunity to mix it with faith. Just hearing it is not enough. You have to hear and believe, or as it says here, mix it with faith. If the gospel is preached, there's an opportunity to mix it with faith. And then what happens? Salvation. You mean live forever, be with Jesus? No, salvation in whatever the situation is. If you hear today, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and you mix faith with that, and you say, you know what? God's going to take care of my needs. This thing that is bothering me, that I'm going through, need this money, God's going to meet that need. That's mixing faith with it. That person experiences salvation. In what way? God brings the need, and they're saved from that need. But what happens if you don't even hear it? You don't even hear the gospel. You can't get saved. Now, yes, Jesus, born again, paid for sin, become born again, spiritually new. But if you don't hear the gospel concerning God wants to meet your needs, if you don't hear the gospel concerning by His stripes you were healed, if you don't hear the gospel concerning my peace I give you, if you don't hear the good news concerning any of these things, you won't be saved. She's making a grand entrance. Praise the Lord. So in our churches everywhere, unfortunately, we are hearing part of the gospel. Part of the gospel. If you don't hear it, you can't mix faith with it. You can't believe it. Or if you even hear a report against it. I grew up in a good church, got born again when I was 12 years old. Didn't always know how to, perfectly live my love for God, but nonetheless, I got born again. But then when I got older, after getting married, started getting more serious about some things. Well, honestly, there was a need in my life. And I found good news. Sandy and I were married, had one and then two children, and not enough money to take care of business and feed everybody and all of that. And I found gospel for a needy man, me. Got that good news. And I learned when I started talking about some of those things in the church where I grew up, not everybody was happy about that. And so when I would talk about some of those things, first of all, I was told I'm supposed to be humble and just content wherever I'm at, you know, no, God's not interested in money for you and that kind of thing. Food, shelter, clothing. You've got that. That's it, right? And so along with discovering how God wanted to meet my needs financially, I saw things about healing and signs and wonders and supernatural deliverance and great and fantastic things in the Scriptures. And I started becoming convinced from the Scriptures. And, of course, started reading a little Brother Hagin, too. That'll mess you up. I started hearing some good news. And if I talked about it in church, some were all ears, but some had, I don't know, some kind of order to protect. And by the way, it wasn't the pastor. It was church people. Can I just say it that way? But I'd talk about healing. And I read about laying hands on the sick. And, oh, no, no. Healing stopped when the last apostle died. We're in a different dispensation. And when I was bold, or I think I could call it boldness, you know, show me. Show me in the Scripture where it passed, where it stopped, where that's the end of it. And nobody ever could, because it's not there. Amen. So if you hear enough teaching against things, the ear doesn't even open to it. Amen. And back in those days, Sandy and I got excited about the Word and some things. We got Spirit-filled. We started wherever somebody would listen, you know, lay hands on some people. You know who was open to the gospel concerning healing in Jesus' name? Those who were hurting and sick. That was good news to them. And those that weren't hurting and sick, you know, they didn't have an ear for good news like that. They wanted to shove it aside. But you hurt enough, long enough, you're going to be all ears, aren't you? So if you don't ever hear the good news, you can't believe it. Or if you hear reports against, or what was called an evil report, the 10 spies versus the 2, right? Then you're biased against and say things, you know, like I mentioned, well, that died with the last apostle. That's not for our time. That's not for our day, and so on. So how can you be saved in those situations? How can you be delivered in those situations if you can't believe it? You don't hear it, or you've heard against it all of your life. Let's go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Interesting story from Brother Keith Moore. Along with the Holy Ghost, responsible for stirring me up. But he tells the story of years ago when he was one of the instructors in Brother Hagin's healing school. And healing school was reserved for people who were sick. If you were sick, you could attend. If you weren't sick, you know, at least the morning session was like that. And so he says one time there was an individual who, after hearing him teach, I think several times, because they won't lay hands on the sick there until a Friday. You have to be there, hear all the messages up to Friday, and then they'll lay hands on the sick. But one individual coming to him and saying to Brother Keith Moore, you know, we don't believe all of that. Well, who's we? Well, my church. We preach the gospel. Is that a fact? You preach the gospel. And you know what he meant by that, right? Salvation in the name of Jesus to live forever in heaven. And this was at healing school. So he tells them, we just preach the gospel. And so after a couple of sentences, he says to him, well, so it's not, don't preach healing in your church. No. Do you have any healings and miracles in your church? No. And he pointed his attention. He says, look at that back wall there. And at that time, he said there were four bookcases with three ring binders in them. He said, those are hundreds and hundreds of testimonies of healings and miracles. We have healings. We have miracles because we preach healing and preach miracles. If you don't preach it, you won't have it. Folks, if you don't hear it, you can't believe it. Amen. What is the gospel for you today? What is the good news for you today? All you do is look to your needs. What are your needs today? When you were a sinner, you needed the gospel of salvation in the name of Jesus, being born again, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Once you have obtained salvation, you're born again, you don't need that gospel like you needed it before. But let's say you need healing in your body. Well, if you're not hearing preaching on that gospel, or maybe I'll say it this way. What's the most important gospel today? That depends on who you are and what your needs are. Right. If someone's lost, not saved, as we use that term, hearing Jesus taking away sin, making one righteous, making one a new creature in Christ, that's the most important gospel they can hear. But if that's all of us already there, then we need other parts of the gospel. And there are times when certain services really minister to two or three individuals particularly. Why? It hit the area of their need that day. And they heard gospel on that part. And if you're feeling just as young and energetic and healthy in body as could be, and we preach a message concerning the gospel and healing, you say, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. That's nice. It's not what I need today, but I'm going to keep that in the bank, right? But if you're hurting, boy, that's the most important gospel that you could hear today. Amen. If you're in need of ministering to your heart peace because of turmoil in your life, then you need to hear the gospel of peace. Or as we've mentioned, the bills need to be paid. There's financial need. Then the gospel concerning prosperity is what you need. Amen. Let's go to Mark 16:15. Did I have you? Yeah. Mark 16:15. Jesus speaking, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now we find here what we call the Great Commission. It's also in Matthew. We're going to come back to Mark, but I want to take you now to Matthew 24:14. Everybody's looking at mostly electronic Bibles, but anyway, I was going to say hold your place. Hold your place, and we'll come back to Mark. But Matthew 24:14, Jesus says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You ever heard somebody say, you know, we got to get this gospel and preach to everybody, and then Jesus can come, right? Well, first of all, I want you to notice it says this gospel. This gospel. Jesus had something specific in mind when he said that. And as we see here, the end can come after the gospel's been preached in all the world. Apparently, the gospel, or as we've seen already, this verse says the gospel of the kingdom. And by the way, we've seen gospel of God, gospel of the Son, gospel of Christ. Now here, gospel of the kingdom. Jesus referred to kingdom very many times in his preaching. So this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. Apparently, the gospel of the kingdom has not been preached in Mark's language to every creature or to all the world. How do we know that? Because the end has not yet come. The end has not yet come. So we see here again the gospel of the kingdom. How much do you and I think kingdom? We don't live under a king. We don't live in a nation that is a kingdom. Except for watching movies or history things, we don't have much kingdom-mindedness. But we see where Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are told that we are being made kings and priests unto our God. And we see where Jesus in the parable of the talents and other places talked about in the next life that we will have responsibility to rule, being kings. We don't know much about kingdom. Amen. And people don't think kingdom. Do we see the church today, in America particularly, resembling anything like a kingdom? Not at all. Not at all. What would you say the church resembles? What did you say?
A nightclub.
A nightclub. Well, we see that to a point, I suppose. You could say that. We have ideas in America particularly that you would probably think of a church much more like a democracy, where everybody votes. In a kingdom, there's no vote. There's only the commands of the king. Amen. And his officers. Boy, that would cause quite a revolt in many, many churches today if we told people, now, you don't have a say in this. You're not the king, and you're not his appointed officer. Right? So if you just know some of the church government models, Presbyterian, as a, for instance, take their name after their government model. Congregational, take their name after their government model. You know, the one that uses kingdom is Kingdom Hall, and maybe that's not so great of an example, but nonetheless, gospel of the kingdom. If we're not really sure what a kingdom is all about, how can we know what the gospel of the kingdom is? Are we preaching the gospel of the kingdom? I myself say, I need to know more about what that is. Now, I'm not trying to set up some kind of a thing where we start calling everybody subjects, although we're subject to the Lord. And the thing about the Lord Jesus is every one of us has a personal walk with Him directly. Amen. But how much does the church today resemble a kingdom? How well do we understand what a kingdom is? Have we been portraying kingdom life, kingdom gospel? Just simple things like, if He's my King, He's my Lord, that means I take instruction from Him. And if He says to me, wants you to live in this area, I have a job for you, I want you to attend this church, there's a whole lot of people are not listening for the instructions of the King. They're saying, well, if I move over here, they've got less taxes. Or if I move over here, I can take this job and I'll earn more money. That's been a great frustration, to be honest. A frustration for me. Oh, you're going to another place for another job. What about church? Well, I'm sure we'll find one. I go, okay, job's number one. Church is somewhere down here. That's not receiving instruction from the King. Amen. If I just stepped on somebody's toes, I don't know. Whatever. So, kingdom. How much do we think kingdom? What we think of as God's church is all over the world preaching all kinds of different things. But are they preaching the gospel of the kingdom? When Jesus said this gospel, is the gospel being preached today faithful to what Jesus preached? Well, it's incumbent upon me. I better find out, what did Jesus preach? And preach the same things. Amen. What did Jesus preach? We used to have that bumper sticker thing, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I've told y'all many times what I think needs improvement, not what would he do, as if it's subjective. It's what did he do. What he would do is what he did do. Amen. And a lot of people say Jesus would do all kinds of things. Jesus loves me just the way I am and wouldn't expect me to change, wouldn't expect me to stop what I'm doing, all that kind of stuff. No. The woman that caught in adultery, when she was brought, he ministered forgiveness and love, but told her, go and sin no more, right? So what did Jesus preach? That's the gospel that needs to be preached all around the world. And I don't know that any one person probably has that fully grasped. Maybe somebody who studies the Bible, you know, with a real gifting and anointing from God, maybe more even than me, you know. Well, not that I way up there or nothing like that. That's not what I'm saying. But it can be a pretty, perhaps prideful place to get to say you know it all. Know everything what the gospel is. Amen. Amen. If you heard any news this week, you couldn't have missed. A new pope was selected, right? And if any part of the church is closer to a kingdom, or as they might believe, closer to a kingdom, maybe the Catholic Church. You know, a pope is supposedly the head of the church worldwide, supposedly selected by God, supposedly a direct line down from the Apostle Peter. And I think there's some problems with the doctrine as they take it. But nonetheless, this week they selected a new pope. All the discussion about the pope, and I heard plenty on the radio, read plenty about this today in news stories and so on. So it's not just Catholics. It's people of every kind paying attention to this. Because, after all, it does involve a lot of the world's population who follow Catholic Church. But none of the discussions seem to be about spiritual things. None of it was about Bible teachings. All of it centered around, well, is he conservative or liberal? Anybody notice that? Yes. Oh, that's what it was all about. What direction is he going to lead the Catholic Church in this point in time? You know, his predecessor, Francis, very liberal, as in rejecting some of the clear teachings of the Bible in favor of many social things, as a for instance, concerning... Well, I don't need to go into the details of that, but you know, he was very permissive, very liberal, changed a lot in the church that way. And there are some who think that's a great thing, but there was quite an outcry amongst other church leaders, Catholic church leaders, and many Catholics, you know, of the population around the world, of returning back to their traditional doctrines, returning back to some of what should be revered and holy and traditional and so on. There was a loud voice calling for that. And so, as it turns out, the individual selected is kind of middle of the road. Doesn't hold any great promise to either one, but doesn't sound like, you know, going to return to traditional doctrines, going to kind of continue in the path that they were on already. So, you know, the question, is he liberal or is he conservative? Wrong question. Wrong question. The right question is, will he preach the gospel that Jesus preached? But to be fair, that's the question that should be asked about me. That's the question that should be asked about every pastor. Not is he liberal? Is he conservative? What's his politics? You know, but are they preaching the gospel that Jesus preached? Amen. And there's a lot of people sitting in judgment of preachers who are no more illuminated themselves about what Jesus preached. Everybody's got their ideas, right? Everybody's got their thoughts on what's right and that kind of thing, you know. So the right question is will a preacher preach the gospel that Jesus preached? This particular new pope has said that he's going to favor the poor. I read a news story this morning. I forget exactly how it was phrased, but he's going to uplift, uphold their cause. He's going to, basically, is he's going to favor the poor and condemn the rich. But I ask you a question. Does the gospel favor anyone? No. So how can you champion the poor, put down the rich? Well, the rich don't need no help and the poor need help. I'll tell you what the poor need. Do you recall Jesus in Luke chapter 4? Well, let's just go there. About verse 18, I think it is. That's material I was going to get to later. But the poor don't need programs. In fact, if you'll study a little bit, you'll find out that poverty in America greatly took an increase in the middle of the 1960s with the introduction of President Johnson's Great Society programs. We got in trouble at that time, and it's been increasing ever since. It's not programs that help people. It's not giveaways that help people. It's not championing them. I didn't say that word right, but being a champion for them. You know, it's not favoring the poor. But Jesus said this when he was preaching, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to give money to the poor." Is that what it says? He's anointed me to champion the cause of the poor. Actually, when you think about the ministry of Jesus, there was some giving to poor. There was taking care of people in basic needs, but it was not a centerpiece of his ministry. In fact, when Judas complained about the alabaster box that was broken and the expensive ointment poured over Jesus, you know, he says this could have been sold for a great sum and given to the poor. Anybody remember what Jesus said to Judas about that? The poor you will have always, but me. Man, that struck me years ago. Jesus himself said there's always going to be poor folk. And here's the answer. What do poor folk need? Poor folk don't need money. They need the gospel to the poor. If you need money today, what do you need? You need the gospel, the good news to the poor. Well, that's referring to poor in spirit. No. That might be when you get to the next one, heal the brokenhearted. Maybe you can make your case there. But when he said poor, he meant poor. And consistently through the Scripture, we could demonstrate that. So if one's poor, what do they need? They don't need the Pope to stand up for them, make all kinds of political statements. They don't need poverty programs, though from time to time you might help someone. Although some people become dependent on help and expect help, and you're no longer helping them. Amen. What do they need? They need the gospel to the poor. Well, no, what they really need is the gospel that will get them born again. Yes, they need that too. But once they're born again, what do they need? They might need this next. What if they're sick in body? They need the gospel to the sick. Amen. What if you're in despair and discouragement? You need the gospel to the discouraged. What if you're brokenhearted? Like here it says, sent me to heal the broken. You need the gospel to the brokenhearted. And in all these areas, Jesus ministered and Jesus preached. Paul did. Peter did. John did. All through the Scriptures, there's good news. So, if he's going to champion the poor and oppose the rich, it sounds good to a lot of people, but it's not the gospel. Amen. Back to Mark 16. I told you we were going to go back there. Mark 16, 15, please. Mark 16, 15. Again, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Are we talking about eternal salvation here? Yes, but not just that. Look what it says next. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, and he didn't mean on purpose, tempting God, so to speak, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. Now, Jesus said this. Not a preacher. Any preacher who ever said this repeated what Jesus said. Jesus preached good news. And part of the good news is that you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's good news to the sick. If you're not preaching good news to the sick don't have an opportunity to believe. There won't be hands laid and they can't recover, at least not this way. And someone maybe could recover quickly, but they're just going to have to go the full course otherwise. So I want to work this over a little bit. Jesus said the gospel needs to be preached and they'll be saved, they'll be set free, they'll be delivered. And he's talking about several areas. These signs follow: cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink anything deadly, and by no means hurt them, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Did Jesus give a full and complete list right here, do you think? Meaning, is there anything else besides these things? Oh, there's a lot besides these things. This is a list meant to spark your imagination about a few things. But it's not the only things. So, let me say it this way. You can tell what's being preached by what the people believe. Remember, Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. So you can tell what is preached by what the people believe. You can tell what they believe by the signs that follow. Therefore, we see clearly here that the gospel includes casting out devils. Oh, that makes people nervous. We don't want none of that in church. Well, Jesus had it in church. Paul had it in church. Imagine Peter did, you know, and where the holiness of God shows up, wherever there's demons and devils, they get pretty unruly. Amen. Amen. The gospel includes casting out devils. The gospel includes speaking with new tongues. I just grew up in a church where, no, we don't do that. Why? It's not for today. They didn't believe, and they weren't preaching. In fact, they were reporting against. And I got Spirit-filled, speaking in other tongues, clearly saw it in the Scripture, started saying some things, and got in trouble back in those days. Amen. So literally teaching against and pressure against, but speaking with new tongues, and then nothing by any means hurting believers, and laying hands on the sick and they recover. So if we don't see these signs happening around us, if we don't see these signs in our churches, then the people didn't believe. If they didn't believe, it wasn't preached. If it wasn't preached, it wasn't the gospel of Jesus. You following me? I worked that backwards. Amen. Amen. So if we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus, there's going to be signs. Over in Acts, it says, "And the Lord went with them everywhere, confirming the word preached." If we don't have confirming signs, wonders, miracles, healings, deliverances of every kind and so on, if we don't have that, we must not be preaching the word. Because the Lord doesn't confirm preaching. He confirms preaching of the word, preaching of the gospel. And this is where the phrase that's another, I guess, denomination has taken their name from. Some have used the phrase, the name, full gospel. We're a full gospel church. Well, what are they saying? They're saying these things are part of the gospel, and we're preaching these things. I'm always a little bit cautious about making a claim. I preach the full gospel. Nobody does. You can't cover everything. You can follow God on what's needed on a given service, right? But I'm afraid that that could lend towards pride if someone thinks we got it. We preach it all. We're the only ones preaching it all, and so on. You know, so full gospel. Church I grew up in, I remember one particular elder talking about, we teach the full counsel of God, meaning all of the wisdom of God and all of the Word. And yet I found, well, what about laying hands on the sick and they recover? Well, that's not for today. Oh, that's the counsel of God, isn't it? He heals the sick. He meets the needs of people. Isn't that part of the counsel of God? It is. But they were contrary. They said no on those things. So, you know, I'm not here to make any claim today. I'm just going to preach these things. And I'm going to stir it up. And we're going to preach healing. We're going to preach being filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Amen. And we'll see demons cast out as well. Amen. It has happened in this room. It's been a while. Maybe we scared everybody off. I don't know. But sometimes the more holiness of God that becomes present amongst us, the more people feel, or demons feel, pressure to act out and act up. While I'm here, I will say this. Demonic spirits do attack believers in body, and there can be spirit upon somebody. It's not the same as in somebody. So just keep that in mind. The devil doesn't oppose religion, but he opposes the gospel. He will let you be religious as you want to be. You can have all kind of teaching, ceremony, you know, standards, whatever. I don't know why I was thinking on this you know, so much lately, but, you know, I have visited the state of Utah, and Utah is a wonderful, beautiful place, but the Mormon Church is headquartered there, in Salt Lake City specifically. Been there two or three times with Pastor Webb, as a matter of fact. You can feel something there. You can feel it. Yeah. And it's not holy. Not holy at all. I've been to New Orleans a couple times, and Brother Jesse is there, yes. But you go down to the French Quarter right down there, you can feel something there. And it's not holy, you know. So the devil don't mind all kind of practice. He don't mind somebody attending a church regularly, but if that church is not preaching the gospel and holding people back and holding them down, he don't mind that at all. Amen. Other things are being preached in churches all around the world. Here in the United States, I'll give you a few just to spark your thinking. Tradition. Boy, a whole lot of tradition is preached. You know, that was true in Jesus' day as well. They accused him of not keeping the traditions of the elders. And so what had happened in Jesus' time is they had received the law from Moses, and there was some things about maintaining your purity and whatever, you know. Well, they took it upon themselves to write many volumes explaining how you do that. And they added all kinds of rules. And specifically the tradition of the elders or the fathers that Jesus referred to. In that day, if they observed a practice, I'm going to not remember how many times, but three or four generations in a row, that became law. That became the traditions. And remember that Jesus was accused of not washing his hands before he ate? This was not so he didn't get COVID. This was the ceremonies. The ceremonies. Jesus didn't keep the ceremonies, which was a tradition of the elders, not the law of Moses. And so traditions, there's all kinds of traditions. And I'm sure we have ours too. Experiences. There are churches that are all about strict. We teach the Bible, and you just believe the Bible, and being in the service is dry, dull, reserved, quiet, all of that. And then there's other churches that say, no, God touches me in my heart, and I feel something, and my emotion is stirred, and my spirit is stirred, and I like to say amen every once in a while. And you take that on to where there may be a great service where somebody's excited and runs around the room. And then there may be more where somebody sees an angel or a vision, and it can go too far to where people think, unless we're having some kind of a great experience, we're not there. And when you're hungry for the experiences, you open yourself into manifestations not of angels, but of demon spirits. Because the Word says that the devil himself can appear as an angel of light. And people so hungry for a supernatural experience, and there's a lot of people today say, I'm a very spiritual person. Well, they're not talking about following Jesus when they say that. They're talking about spiritual experiences and so on. We have in some churches where experiences are being preached. Now, we will have some experiences with the supernatural things of God. We should. I have. But I'm very careful about, I just really want to see an angel. I want angels to talk to me. I want, you know, no. Watch out. So there are places where experiences are taught, not the gospel of Jesus. Good works. Just be a good person. We got all these good works that we're doing. We're helping this organization, and we're doing that. And you, or the other side of the same thing is, you better behave yourself or God will be angry with you. Good works is definitely preached in churches. Politics. I'm politically aware. And I talk about those things, touch them a little bit because they affect everyday life. But in a lot of churches, what's being preached is politics, not the gospel of Jesus. The news, you know, preaching about current events and so on. I this week reported a little bit what's going on, you know, the news, but you can't have the gospel, not the news. Diet. Yeah, there are churches way into preaching diet, you know, and major efforts on that. Some of it is, I don't care to insult people, but where this church started first, we rented from another church, and they have some law concerning diet and what you can eat and can't eat and all of that kind of stuff, you know, which related to some of the law of Moses, you know, no pork and so on. So diet is preached in some places. And that's just a few. And many other things that are not the gospel. So I'm going to continue in weeks to come with more of this. But I want you to know, if there's somebody in here today that would like to be spirit-filled and speak with other tongues, I'm declaring the gospel to you today. And you here today can be filled with the Spirit and speak in other tongues. Amen. I'm declaring to you the gospel to the poor, that if you have need of resources and finance, that God supplies all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes. I'm here today to declare to you the gospel concerning laying on of hands, and the sick shall recover. If there's somebody here today that has need in your body for healing, we will lay hands on the sick today. I'm declaring that gospel so that you can be healed today. Amen. If we don't declare it, you can't believe it. If you can't believe it, you can't receive it. Amen. And there's many other things as well. But we're going to declare the gospel here. And when I say that, it's my intention. I won't say that I'm perfect in doing it. I won't say that I've ever been. I won't say that I ever could be. But we're going to endeavor to go in that direction. Why? These signs will follow. And oh, for somebody that's hurting in body today, the good news would be you don't have to hurt. For somebody that's desperate financially, the good news today is you can have your needs met in Jesus' name. And the signs that will follow, you know, if the one who in body needs healing, the good news is healing, and they receive that, what's the good news for the one that needs money? What would be the sign following? If the gospel to the poor is preached, what would the sign following be? Needs met. Money comes. Amen. Oh, that's not gospel. Yes, it is. Jesus did tell financial gospel. Peter, take out, launch into the deep, let down your nets. For a financial gain. That was a sign following. Amen. Amen. Give and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So I guess we should receive our offering here, and then you're going to do this. I'm going to do this? Well, she don't know nothing about it. Okay. I'm winging it. Lori expected one thing, and I'm thinking about other things. Yeah. Part of the gospel to the poor is give, and it shall be given to you. I was driving in this morning, looking across the fields. There's just enough plant up in most of these fields that across the distance you see a green color starting to come up. It's real small. You know, I think it's all corn this early. But I was thinking about that. I don't believe you can find a farmer who doesn't believe in sowing. How ridiculous would it be for him to say, oh, sowing, that giving, that planting stuff, I don't do that. I don't believe in that. Maybe he could have that opinion, but he's not a farmer no more. There's not going to be a harvest. So it just struck me as I was driving, how ridiculous are the individuals who think, nah, I'm not going to sow nothing. That doesn't work. No, it produces a harvest. Amen. Given shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know, they plant thousands and millions of seeds in the ground out there. But I don't know the number, but I was thinking about that. One kernel goes in the ground. Is anybody farmer enough in here to know one corn plant, how many kernels does it produce? How much does it multiply? There's a expectation on a full ear of corn. Nobody's a direct farmer. Pardon me? 80? 80 kernels? It's way more than that, Juan. You must be buying them short ears. Yeah, there's 27 or 30 some rows. And then the length of the row, you looking it up?
No,
you're just holding your phone. Okay. It's in the hundreds of kernels. And sometimes one strong ear and a secondary, sometimes two strong ears. It could easily be a 2,000-fold return. A seed and fertilizer are expensive, but think about that. One kernel in, 2,000 back. That's what the Lord said, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen? Amen? So that's gospel to the poor. Poor don't need a program. Poor need the gospel preached to them. Gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.